Ladies and gentlemen, we will all please rise for the playing of the Star Spangled Banner. Remain standing. The Right Reverend Monsignor Joseph V. Sullivan, Chancellor of the Diocese of Kansas City and St. Joseph, will invoke the blessings of Almighty God.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Heavenly Father, you have created the world. It should help us to know you and to love you inwardly. Every ray of light, every flower, every new view of the countryside, every work of art is a silent messenger inviting us to pursue quickly the path that leads to you. The gusty wind on Midwestern prairies, the joy of independence and freedom, the initiative and courage of frontiersmen, all speak of your might and goodness. Would that our souls were perceptive enough to find you in all things. Preserve in us alert souls, enthusiastic and youthful, which will never grow weary of hearing a song of nature or viewing your works of art. Help us to see your divine thought in colors and sounds, in paintings such as the beautiful mural here. Let nature be for us a beautiful temple which in every detail proclaims your praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
Be seated. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the gracious ladies who are honoring us on this platform. I will ask each of them to rise briefly after being introduced. The first of them, and the first as always in our affectionate regard, is Mrs. Harry S. Truman. Next is Mrs. Thomas Hart Benton, the wife of our artist. Mrs. H.M. Hunt, wife of the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Independence. Mrs. Hillary Bush, wife of the Lieutenant Governor of Missouri. And Mrs. Anderson, wife of the Governor of Kansas. Miss Jessie Benton, the daughter of our artist. Mrs. David Lloyd, my wife. We are also honored here by the presence of Lieutenant Governor Bush of Missouri and Governor Anderson of Kansas. The others up here will take part in the program and will be introduced to you as we go along. We are gathered here to dedicate a magnificent work of art glorifying our national past. It is my privilege to represent on this occasion the Harry S. Truman Library Corporation, an organization of men and women from all parts of our country who joined together almost 10 years ago for the purpose of financing the building of the Harry S. Truman Library through voluntary contributions. When this building was finished, the officers of this corporation dreamed of a mural decoration worthy of the building and worthy of the distinguished leader whom it honors. We dared to hope that such a decoration could be created for this building by the most noted mural painter in America. Today, we celebrate that dream come true. The Harry S. Truman Library Corporation is not solely responsible for the arrangements and the financing which made this mural possible. We had the enthusiastic assistance of a notable group of artists and painters composing the board of the National Academy of Design, who made available to this project the resources of the Edwin Austin Abbey Fund. Edwin Abbey was an outstanding mural painter of his day, who left a considerable fortune for fostering mural painting in this country. The Abbey Fund has financed in whole or in part many fine murals, in particular the paintings which grace the Eisenhower Museum in Abilene. Joined together, the Harry S. Truman Library Corporation and the Abbey Fund pooled their resources for the support of this mural which we are about to dedicate. Speaking for the Truman Library Corporation, I am happy to express our gratitude to all those who have supported this project through their gifts and contributions, to the Abbey Fund, to the artists, to the staff of the library. We also express our supreme satisfaction in this work. It is a great work, which the American people will enjoy for generations to come. Moreover, we express our thanks to former President Truman, who has been so enthusiastic about this project and so interested in it that aside from raising most of the money, he even painted a small corner of it himself. It is now my pleasure to introduce a representative of the National Academy of Design and the Abbey Fund. He is a painter and a sculptor. He has studied painting. He has taught painting. He is the recipient of many medals for excellence. His works may be seen in Chicago and St. Louis, Texas, Washington, D.C., Brooklyn, and other places. When he speaks of mural painting, he speaks with authority, for his painting may be found in some of our most notable public buildings. It is with pleasure that I introduce Mr. Eugene F. Savage, representing the National Academy of Design.
In representing the National Academy, I should first express the pleasure afforded the members of the Academy and its president, John Harbison, through the trusteeship and administration of the Edwin Austin Abbey Fund for Mural Painting, which contributed to the accomplishment of this outstanding achievement in American art. From the time of the National Academy's first president, Mr. Samuel Finley Breeze Morse, who was one of America's most distinguished portrait painters and inventors, the Academy has steadfastly upheld in our national culture the highest standards of craftsmanship and power and beauty and effective expression of the visual arts, architecture, painting, and sculpture, keeping progress with literature and music, the two remaining fields of art. The Academy extends its felicitations to all within the reach of this beautiful building on this historic occasion. to President Truman, to the Academy's distinguished member, Mr. Thomas Hart Benton, whose painting makes an outstanding contribution to the local and national consciousness and purpose, and he has done this for a half a century. It is not foreign to the spirit of this occasion to mark its timely and fortunate character when education is so preoccupied, even usurped, by our nationwide addiction to technology. Technology should be made to share attention with knowledge of ourselves, of the mastery of the philosophy of history and the form and pattern of morphological history if we are to anticipate the troubles and dangers and catastrophes that await us otherwise in our hopes for security and the future. Mr. Benton's mural painting is in this building is an American epic. I would like to say that 10 times, but I shall get up at the next meeting of the National Academy and explain the unprecedented care in his studies and his approach to the fulfillment of a powerful and vigorous expression of the spirit and feeling and consciousness of the American people. And for the Academy, I offered to him and the president to whom this memorial is built the Academy's sincerest congratulations. Thank you.
Genius always has its roots in some particular place, but is by its nature universal. I know it's a matter of great satisfaction to the people of Missouri that the painter of this mural belongs to them. But the people of all the states rejoice in the works of this Missourian and in the fact that his art expresses and portrays America for the eyes of the whole world. The creator of this mural is a master in the best and greatest traditions of Western art and in the techniques and conceptions of painting which originated among artists of the High Renaissance in Italy over 500 years ago. To this tradition, he has added his own vision, his own way of looking at things, his own way of intensifying and interpreting our common visual experience. To it, moreover, he has added an understanding of the American people and a pride in their character, which comes to him rightly from his great forebears, who helped in their day to settle the frontiers and to open the West. I give you with pride, Mr. Thomas Hart Benton.
President Truman, Mr. Chief Justice Warren, and my confrere, Mr. Savage, other distinguished guests on the platform, and all my equally distinguished friends out in front. This is an unusual occasion. You know why it's unusual? Because I'm here. Do you know why it's unusual? Because I'm here? Because this is the first time, so far as I can see, in the history of America that an artist had these kind of public honors. Now, just as they did Mr. Robert Frost at Mr. Kennedy's, President Kennedy's inauguration, I'm a little scared. But I'm not so scared, and I'm not going to get away with it somehow or other. And first, I want to thank Mr. President Harry S. Truman for the confidence he has given me from the start of my work in his library till its finish. After our preliminary discussions were concluded, that's more than 2 years ago, nearly three, and we agreed on a theme, the President left the development of that theme entirely in my hands. If you had any ideas about the improvement of the mural, you didn't tell me about them. Now, this is a remarkable reticence. Not often found at any time between patron and artist. Even with such a supreme artist as Michelangelo, Pope Julius II was a frequent kibitzer. During the time of his patronage, Michelangelo had to argue continually, even to carry on his work. Arguing uses up your brains and your time. It's very disruptive to any kind of creative work, and to the flow of that kind of work. I know all about this because I've done a lot of arguing about my paintings in the past, as you all know. If I lose this speech, I'll have to make it up. However, let's get back. All in all, I've been pretty lucky with the kind of patrons I've had. It's not always in my Missouri public. I've generally had good patrons, but I don't believe I ever had as good a one as Harry S. Truman, because he possessed the equipment as a historian to be a really disturbing kibitzer if he'd wanted to. One you'd pay attention to, I mean. However, as I've indicated, he didn't use his advantages on me. Instead, as I have indicated, he permitted my work here to develop on its original plan and through its own logic to its own kind of completion. I, therefore, hope the mural turns out to be a success. If it does, the president's considerate restraint will have helped to make it so. If it don't, well, you know who's responsible. Now, I'll tell you, I want to say a few words about what I think will make the mural a success. What I think will make it successful. Obviously, the work is not an arts for art's sake exercise. Those of you who see it know that. It's not the kind of decorative pattern of lines and colors currently so popular in artistic circles. Now, of course, it is as just that kind of a pattern of lines and colors that the work is presented to you. Paintings are made out of lines and colors, and the patterns occasioned by these is what you see first when you look at a painting. But beyond this, the Truman mural is intended to carry meanings. It's based on meanings, and particularly American ones at that, and its purpose is to communicate these meanings, and further to suggest their elaboration. You'll understand what I mean by that in a second. Just as a statue or a painting of Jesus Christ, say in the 14th, 15th, or 16th centuries, when works of art were other than speculating merchandise and had a comprehensive purpose in society, just as such a statue or painting would lead to meanings beyond itself for Christians, so I hope the Truman Library painting will lead to meanings by itself, beyond itself for Americans. A work of art can function socially only through the participation of people in its meanings. It's the average, intelligent spectator's response to the meanings of these paintings, to these meanings, which determines a work's significance in the culture. Thus, a creative act is not finally successful, or is finally successful, a creative act is finally successful only insofar as it causes activity in the minds of those who view it. Now, let me tell you what kind of activity in your minds I hope this mural will set going, in spite of its quite specific historical title. The mural gives you not history proper, but an abstraction of or from history. It is a symbolic representation of history through fictitious images. There is no real historic personage in the mural, nor any actual recorded event. However, every effort has been made to see that the images presented are of such historical accuracy that they could be paralleled in the real life which is symbolized. They are factually true, or as much so as my research could make them. Now, apart from whatever, if any, satisfaction may be derived from the color, representative qualities, representational qualities, or spatial relationships of the Truman Library mural, its public success, I mean its success among you, will rest on the effectiveness of its symbolism to stimulate interest in the real history that symbolism represents. Now let's get to the final thing. Mr. President, I've got finished with the mural put in Missouri way. After today, it's out of my hands for good. It was still mine, I felt, as long as I was working on it. Now it's yours. Henceforth, it'll belong to you and your library. May it do what I want it to do and what you want it to do. Mr. David Lloyd, I don't know where you are, but... And Dr. Wayne Glover, too. I want to thank you for bringing the president and me together on this project. And also my friend Randall Jelsey and the president's friend for helping to keep us together. Also, I want to thank my colleague, Mr. Charles Spank Wilson, for his help in Indian research and for traveling through hell and a lot of cactus needles with me in the process. And Brumadeck and Hawk, I don't know whether you were here or not. Yeah, I see you down there. You're a long ways off. Brumadeck and Hawk, I want to thank you for your help among and about your people, the Pawnees. We wouldn't have found them without you. 1 minute more. Some further thanks are due, not the least by a long shot. This time to the staff of the Truman Library, who one and all gave me everything I asked for up on top of the scaffold and down flat on the floor. Thanks also to my wife, who in addition to spiritual support made the soup that kept me going physically. And last of all, thanks to all of you folks for coming here and magnifying this occasion. Thank you.
Had a lot of philosophy in it, as well as a lot of Mr. Benton. We must now pause briefly, and I will ask the Reverend H.M. Hunt, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Independence, Missouri, to ask a thanksgiving.
Eternal God, our Father, we thank Thee for this occasion so filled with meaning, so alive with history, so linked with tomorrow. We commemorate here not only a portion of our nation's life, but also the strong hearts and high hopes of the pioneers of yesterday. We're grateful for these sturdy souls who, through hard years, were a part of the westward expansion of our country. May we catch some of their spirit today and lift our eyes to the new frontiers that await our courage and faith. Help us to humbly rededicate ourselves anew in Thy presence and before all mankind, with the prayer that we may be guided by Thy wisdom and girded by Thy might to continue what they, through great trials, began. May Thy blessings rest upon the one in whose honor this library has been erected, and the one whom we honor today for his creation of inspiration and beauty. May their labors to preserve a great heritage be as a light to our pathway and a lamp to our feet. Grant, we pray, an ever-increasing contribution to our nation from this memorial, and may it through the years that lie ahead inspire and bless the multitudes that stand within its walls. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Harry S. Truman Library belongs to the people of the... of the United States. It is in the hands of their government, and it is administered, as you all know, by the National Archives and Records Service. Of all the government servants who have worked to make this building a reality and to maintain it and its treasures for the benefit of the American people, none has played a more important role and a less obtrusive one than the man who will now accept this painting on behalf of the government. I present Dr. Wayne Grover, the Archivist of the United States.
Mr. Chairman, I'm certainly proud to join with President Truman in accepting this great work of art on behalf of the United States government. Seems to me this is another completed step in making the Truman Library a truly great national cultural institution of value not only to the scholars who write history, but to the people generally. I believe that Thomas Hart Benton is the best muralist that America has produced, and I think this is the best mural that Thomas Hart Benton has produced. While I am no great critic of art, I'm reinforced in that opinion by one whose critical judgment, particularly of the works of Thomas Hart Benton, I would say is definitive, and that is Mrs. Rita Benton. It is. We are truly proud of this mural and of accepting it for this institution, and we're grateful to both the great Missourians who made it possible, Tom Benton and President Harry Truman. Thank you very much.
It is now my privilege to introduce the other great Missourian, about whom my heart is so full that I really can find no words to express it. So all I will say is, the former President of the United States, Harry S. Truman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. You know, it's a great pleasure and a great satisfaction to have succeeded in getting along without too many quarrels with Tom Benton. That's a job that's hard for anybody to do, but I want to say to you, Tom, I completely agree with the archivist of the government of the United States that it's a wonderful mural. I think it's the best one Tom ever did, and he's the best muralist in the country. And I'm not an artist. I'm just an ordinary guy who tries to raise the money to pay for what they do. It's worked out all right. And we have a situation here today that's most unusual. We have with us today the man who's going to dedicate the mural. He's the Chief Justice of the United States, one of the finest men I ever knew. And I've known a great many fine ones. He's a great Chief Justice. And I have a tribute here that I want to pay to him before he dedicates this mural. Mr. Chief Justice, my friends, even a casual reading of history will tell us that the measure of the effectiveness of those who hold high office for the benefit of the people are often the recipients of abuse and fury from certain self-proclaimed super patriots and purported guardians of this great republic of ours, and we don't need them at all. Our great Chief Justice has had his troubles with these smart alecks, and they has earned the distinction of being one of the great Chief Justices of the United States, and they've only been 14. They've only been 14 of them. He had made a profound impression on our time in history by his contributions to the broadening and strengthening of our free institutions within the basic scope of the Constitution of the United States. I'm grateful and highly honored to have him here a second time at this library for the dedication of this great mural of Thomas H. Benton. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Justice of the United States.